ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dugout Debate Podcast. Today, we're going to visit the somewhat controversial hot topic sweeping across America over the last month or so, bending the knee in the NFL.
We will explore where it all began, the involvement of Colin Kaepernick and President Donald Trump. We will look at the question, how successful can sport and its stars be as the mouthpiece for social injustice? And look at some other examples of sports and their stars raising awareness of social injustice around the world, before looking at what is next for this debate and how it might end. So how did this all start, Tim, and who is Colin Kaepernick?
So Colin Kaepernick was a quarterback in the National Football League. He played for the San Francisco 49ers, and he took them to the Super Bowl in 2012. He is currently unattached. He is a free agent, and he is not playing for a team. But for now, we'll just take you all the way back to the beginning of the saga. So in August 2016, more specifically the 14th and the 20th of the month, Colin Kaepernick remained seated during the national anthem in the first two 49ers preseason games. He remained unnoticed as he didn't play in the first two games, and as such, he wasn't in kit, so it was a little bit more difficult to spot. However, August the 26th, 2016 rolled around, and it was a preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. A photo was published on Twitter of both teams lining up during the anthem before the match. This wasn't a photo of anything in particular. It was just a photo of the general scene by one of the 49ers fan groups. It was subsequently noticed by the media that Colin Kaepernick, number 7 for the San Francisco 49ers, had remained seated through the anthem. Later that evening, when the media sort of started talking about it, 49ers released the following statement. The national anthem is and always will be a special part of the pre-game ceremony. It is an opportunity to honour our country and reflect on the great liberties we are afforded as its citizens. In respecting such American principles as freedom of religion and expression, we recognize the right of an individual to choose to participate or not in our celebration of the national anthem. This effectively acknowledged the fact that Kaepernick sat during the anthem. A couple of days later, on August the 28th, Kaepernick came in front of the media and began to explain his reasons behind sitting in protest during the anthems. This is a quote from him. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. When there's significant change and I feel like the flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand. I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of colour. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder. Police brutality has become somewhat of a contentious and polarizing issue in American society. This has come as a result of repeated videos showing police shooting and killing unarmed black men, which have been posted online and have gone viral, illustrating the brutality that black people in America must contend with when dealing with some police officers who may not serve any prison time for pulling the trigger. After this point, on August the 28th, 2016, Kaepernick began taking the knee rather than sitting, in order to draw attention to social injustices rather than being a slant on the military per se. Chris, I think you actually have a little bit more about that.
Yes, that's right. The idea of kneeling actually came from a military veteran and brief NFL player called Nate Boyer. He wrote a letter to Kaepernick after he sat on the bench during the anthems in preseason, as you've mentioned, and Kaepernick responded to this by inviting Bauer down to see him, and the pair agreed on kneeling being less inflammatory to military veterans, but still a fair way to show your displeasure at the current state of affairs.
So on September 1st, 2016, Jeremy Lane of the Seattle Seahawks became the first non-San Francisco 49er to join the protest. This was ultimately the start of a wave that led to continued showings of support for Kaepernick across the NFL and myriad sports through raised fists, linked arms and bent knees. As I said, since then, Kaepernick has been released by the 49ers and is currently a free agent. So that's the history sort of sorted. That's how it all started. And now we click on to today. Chris, can you just give us a little bit more of an update as to what's gone on a bit more recently?
Sure. So some of the latest developments have been that not only does Colin Kaepernick not have a team for the current NFL season, As you've mentioned, a man that's previously led the 49ers to a Super Bowl in 2012. But Kaepernick has felt so frustrated by his current situation that he filed a grievance against the NFL team owners that he believes are conspiring not to sign him because of the protest. His lawyers have also said that Kaepernick was not invited to the NFL talks about the protests on Tuesday the 17th of October, despite other players involved indicating that they wanted him to be there. At the meeting, the governing body met team owners and players' representatives in New York, in talks that have been described as productive, but you always seem to hear that publicly from any meeting, and as such, no concrete steps to address the issue were announced after the meeting. One other interesting twist came when German football team Hertha Berlin showed support for the protests by kneeling before their game with Schalke in the Bundesliga on Saturday the 14th of October. The club's starting lineup linked arms and took a knee in the middle of the pitch, while coaching staff and replacements knelt on the sidelines. Hertha Berlin tweeted saying, "Hertha BSC stands for tolerance and responsibility, for a tolerant Berlin and an open-minded world, now and forevermore." This is the first example of the protest taking place outside of the US, other than the NFL games staged in the UK, and in another sport other than American football. Although that may well change with the NBA season starting this week, and many athletes from within basketball having previously backed the protests, including LeBron James, who wore some shoes that had equality written on them in the NBA season opener. His teammates at the Cleveland Cavaliers also linked arms during the national anthem before the game against the Boston Celtics. We could see an awful lot more of this in plenty of different sports. So there has been quite a few different developments in the recent weeks. So where does Donald Trump come in, and what has been his involvement, Tim?
On the 22nd of September this year, 2017, Donald Trump was at a rally in Alabama for the Republican Senate candidate Luther Strange. And in response to players bending the knee, which at the time was actually quite isolated, and if anything, the numbers of players showing their support for the movement was actually dropping, Trump made the following statement during the rally. "Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, 'Get that son of a off the field right now. Out. He's fired.' You know, some owner's going to do that. He's going to say, 'That guy disrespects our flag. He's fired.' And that owner, they don't know it. They'll be the most popular person for a week. They'll be the most popular person in this country, because that's a total disrespect of our heritage. A total disrespect of everything that we stand for. And I know we have freedoms, and we have freedom of choice, and many, many different freedoms. But you know what? It's still totally disrespectful. But you know what's hurting the game? When people like yourselves turn on the television and you see those people taking the knee when they're playing our great national anthem, the only thing you can do is leave the stadium." So there's quite a lot there. There are plenty of people who agree with what Trump is saying in regards to disrespecting the national anthem and the flag. There are plenty of people who disagree and say it's not a slight on the national anthem or the flag. It's trying to draw attention to the social injustices that are happening. In my mind, as somebody who's come into knowledge of this issue fairly recently, it's quite a confusing picture. There seems to be lots and lots of different pieces of rhetoric being thrown about by different groups, and I think this is a view shared by quite a few people, the original message that Colin Kaepernick was actually trying to get across has been lost in these conversations. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Colin Kaepernick, I think, started it as a bit of a personal thing for him. It wasn't meant to be this great statement that everyone's got on the back of. He didn't feel like he could stand during the national anthem because the US national anthem didn't represent the country that he thought he was living in. But as soon as the media seemed to pick up on it, he did have a ready-made argument ready for the press, and he did seem to then leap on it, and it's just snowballed since then. I think it is fascinating that the media did miss it to start with. I'm not quite sure how, obviously pre-season there is less media attention on it, but it is interesting that they managed to miss something like this.
There are still as many cameras, though. It's like a normal NFL game in a lot of contexts. And to be fair, I think particularly during pre-season, the bench is going to be looked at even more than you'd expect during the season, because you're looking at who's on the bench, who's not fit, who's not ready, all that sort of thing. So the fact that they didn't spot it was interesting. A point that I'd like to make about Trump's comments, I'm a little bit reluctant to to go jumping in and making lots of opinions about what he said. I think what's there, anyone can make their opinions about. But the week following Trump's comments, there were considerably more protests, or there was definitely a demonstration across the NFL of players and, in some cases, team owners linking arms, kneeling, what have you, in response to the comments. And this adds yet another dimension to what was already a confusing picture, because we had the issue as whether it was a disrespecting of the flag and the national anthem, or if it was fighting social injustices. And now it's the NFL fighting Trump almost directly, you'd have to say, because they were actually standing up against what Trump was saying rather than the issue he was talking about. So it's all very confusing. And I actually think that by making the comments that he did, he was almost trying to deflect it from the issues that were raised by Colin Kaepernick in the first place, changing it from conversation about the social injustices into very much a debate about the national anthem and the flag. And it's worked. It has worked. People aren't really talking about that anymore.
There's no doubt in my mind that plenty of NFL players have joined the protest just to protest against Trump rather than protest the things that Colin Kaepernick feels are important. I think it is clear that Trump has his own agenda with this, that he is going heavy on the fact that it's disrespecting the military, people that have fought for their country, by kneeling or sitting down or linking arms or whatever during the national anthem. He feels that that's disrespecting them, but that's nowhere near what Colin Kaepernick was trying to do when he first started this. He wasn't even thinking about the military veterans when he did it. He was 100% focused on looking at the racial injustice he feels that is there, and he wanted, well, he might not even have wanted to look at that straight away. That might have just been something that he wanted to do privately, but he sure has. Now that the situation's had the media spotlight, he sure has made the most of that, which is something that Fox Sports presenter Jason Whitlock actually has been very scathing about the matter, saying that Kaepernick kind of fell into the situation and may even originally have begun sitting down during the anthem to display his displeasure at where his career was going rather than for racial injustice and police brutality. I guess fundamentally only Colin knows for sure, but personally I think Colin Kaepernick's he's a clever guy. This is a pretty major thing just to fall into by accident, and it seems from his quotes, as I've mentioned, when he first got asked about it, that he was prepared with an answer. So for me, Whitlock has just taken against the protest and is, like Trump's, trying to find any way to discredit it.
Yes, well, something that stood out for me from the Trump comments, this is more a little bit of an insight to Trump rather than anything, but obviously there was anger after what he said, but particularly because in the same breath that he condemned Colin Kaepernick for what was undeniably a peaceful protest against social injustice, I mean, that's what he's come out and said it's for, so I'll give him the benefit of any doubt.
He deserves the credit for that, yeah.
So this was a peaceful protest against social injustice, but on the other side of this, Trump refused to condemn violence committed by far-right nationalists in Charlottesville and in other places around the country. And I think that's what's made one side of the this particular coin so angry. And I can see why, because one is very extreme, the other is how it's supposed to be done. Peaceful process, how things get changed with the maximum benefit with the minimum costs. And, you know, when your president comes out and says these sort of comments, that people are going to get angry.
Yeah, like with a lot of the things that we seem to see Donald Trump doing, tweeting about all of the time, it seems to be really heavy-handed. And he's come in accusing the NFL of total disrespect after it decided it would not punish players for standing during the national anthem. With him even tweeting, the NFL has decided it will not force players to stand. Total disrespect for our great country. I mean, all the comments he seems to be coming out with are inflammatory, and that's not something you normally see from a president. Obviously, we're used to guys that in that situation would try and play it down a little bit and not take it full on, head on, and he's really not helping the matter by coming at it from that direction.
It's certainly quite interesting that teams and owners across the country have well, briefly, albeit, joined in support of action against Trump. And this included owners who financially backed Trump's presidential campaign. I think that was more because it was a slight on the NFL rather than anything else. Obviously, we've already had a chat about LeBron James. Stevie Wonder, during a concert, he got down on both knees. And obviously, we've talked about Hertha Berlin. Recently, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he was very visible in his kneeling prior to, I'm sorry, I forget which game, but while the cameras panning across the team, he was there hand in hand with the players during these protests. And very recently, he's come out and said that any players who now bend the knee will not take part in any games, which suggests that the anti-Trump or the Trump v NFL saga has actually finished. And now the original issue is coming back to the forefront. So the owners or lots of people are going back to right now, this is not acceptable because it's disrespecting the flag, etc. When it was never Trump in the first place, and it was never disrespecting the flag in the first place. It was all about social injustices. So yeah, it paints quite a confusing picture, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, to have such a big swing from Jerry Jones is quite ridiculous. I mean, he's an out there character, but to go from one complete side to the other side is fairly ridiculous. And what he said, and that he would immediately bench any players who protested against the anthem, I can't imagine him doing that to his star quarterback Dak Prescott, or perhaps he'd bench his entire Dallas Cowboys wide receiver core. I can't see him doing that at all. So he's coming out with stuff that he can't back up.
So in light of what's gone on in the NFL, Chris, how successful can sport and its stars act as a mouthpiece for social injustice?
So to explore that question, we thought we'd look at some examples of sports and their stars raising awareness for social injustice around the world and throughout time. So some of the most famous examples are Jesse Owens, an athlete standing up for racial injustice by going to the 1936 Olympics in Nazi Germany. Just by competing and winning 4 gold medals in the 100 metres, 200 metres, long jump and 4x100 metres, Owens helped crush Hitler's myth of Aryan supremacy. Hitler did, however, albeit begrudgingly, congratulate Owens on the triumph. And some of the real drama came when Owens returned home and President Franklin D. Roosevelt never invited Jesse Owens to the White House to congratulate him. A shocking state of affairs made worse by the fact that while in Germany competing, Owens had been allowed to travel with and stay in the same hotels as whites at a time when African Americans in many parts of the United States had to stay segregated in hotels that accommodated only blacks. And another example that we looked at is the Black Power Salute at the 1968 Olympics by African American athletes Tommy Smith and John Carlos. During the medal ceremony for the 200 metres, the pair, having won gold and bronze respectively, turned on their podiums for their flags to be raised and to hear the national anthem. At which point, both athletes raised a black gloved fist and kept them there until the anthem finished. In his autobiography, Silent Gesture, Tommy Smith stated the gesture was not a black power salute, but a human rights salute. Regardless, it remains one of the most famous overtly political gestures in the history of sport. And following it, Smith and Carlos were largely ostracised from the US sporting establishment, and they were subject to a lot of criticism.
Alongside the Tommy Smith and John Carlos gesture, the other man in the photo, it's a very famous photo. If you haven't seen it, it's eminently Googleable. The other man in the photo is Peter Norman. He's an Australian athlete, and it has been said that he actually provided the gloves to Tommy Smith and John Carlos to make the salute, and he was fully supportive of their cause. He was, like Tommy Smith and John Carlos, he was ostracized completely from the Australian athletics community, and he had a significant number of questions on it when he got home. But he remained steadfast, and he refused to criticize the athletes in question. say he was not allowed to have any input for the 2000 Olympics. He was basically shunned by Australian media and sport. He died in 2006, and it was only in 2012, many years later, 40-odd years later, that he was finally pardoned 6 years after his death. So these protests are not something new, but it feels like globally we haven't really moved a long way forward from that. You know, these protests, whilst the overt segregation no longer exists, there are still massive social injustices, as I think is evidence from some of the things we've seen across the world over the last couple of years.
Do you have any other examples, Tim?
Yes. In 1996, NBA guard Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was the athlete who made news for protesting during the pre-game playing of the national anthem. He said, "The flag is a symbol of oppression, of tyranny, and this country has a long history of that. I don't think you can argue the facts." And back in 2014, after Florida teenager Trayvon Martin was killed in February 2012, various NBA players, including LeBron James, took to social media to post pictures of themselves donning hoodies similar to that which Martin was wearing at the time of his death to bring awareness to the circumstances surrounding the shooting. So plenty there. I would just quickly add that we don't see much of this in the UK, do we? Sports stars coming out and making quite, not big political protests, but, you know, coming out and speaking out about instances going on. I don't know if you can recall anything in the UK, but...
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't really thought about that, but...
I think the one athlete I can actually think of off the top of my head is James McLean, the West Brom, and is he Northern Ireland?
Yes, Northern Ireland, yeah.
I don't want to get that wrong. Yeah, Northern Irish player who doesn't wear a poppy over sort of the remembrance period, but that's just a personal choice, and he does it peacefully. He doesn't.
Yeah, on the poppy thing, the FA deliberately went against FIFA, didn't they, to wear the poppy during that? But that again, that was a body rather than an individual sports star coming out for it. I don't know whether it's due to the sports stars in America being bigger celebrities off the field than over here. I don't know whether that has any sort of factor in it, but.
Potentially.
They do seem to be more willing to come out and appear on other television channels other than the sports media to come out and against these sort of things.
I would say there's a bit less of a political spectrum in the UK.
Yeah.
I don't think you quite get the range that you necessarily get in the US. I think that the UK is fairly centrist. But anyway, that was just a quick aside.
While sport offers athletes a great platform to speak out against injustices, it is difficult to change these large problems just with gestures on the sporting field. It's always going to be about what they can inspire to happen off the sporting field for real change to come. Sport can be a great uniting power, as we saw during the 1995 Rugby World Cup in South Africa and the Nelson Mandela.
100%.
Yeah, but there needs to be some strong strategy behind these movements. Gestures alone will not get you anywhere. What are your thoughts, Tim?
I think that a well-used argument from some people has been that the sports stars are paid X million pounds to go and play a sport, so they should keep sport away from politics and just play what they're paid to do. I largely disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think that these men and women have tremendous power to influence the lives of so many people around the world. I can agree that sort of 30 years ago, when sports stars were sports stars, you saw them do their sport and then they left your life. But now they are so ingrained in society, you see them everywhere. They're probably harassed as they walk down the street. I think these guys and girls really, really can have a major influence on not only on culture but politically.
Yeah.
What's going on, and arguably the best forum for it is when they're playing their sport, whether that's by refusing to take part in it or in some way, I don't know. But I don't think I could pick a more appropriate time for somebody like Kaepernick or any other like-minded people to make a protest, because it's not impinging on the game. It may impinge on, you know, some people's enjoyment of it if he's not respecting the anthem. But this is where some, I think, a little bit gets lost in translation, because I don't think there'd be quite the same problem in the UK if somebody sat down during the anthem here.
Yes.
But their platform is their sport, and if they have something to say about it, by all means, go ahead and say it. And if they're coming from a perfectly reasonable point of view, then go for it. I personally haven't got anything against it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you make there, actually, that the anthems only came into the NFL after 2009, apart from the Super Bowl, which always had an anthem before it, and after the 9/11 instance, where all the games did have an anthem at them. So I think there is, it's certainly a recent phenomenon, but there seems to be this other stigma around the anthem in the US that it doesn't quite have over here. Obviously, we sing along with God Save the Queen whenever it comes on. And
that's entirely the point. Sorry, we just sing along, yeah. We get it over and done with, because it's, I would rather have a bit of Jerusalem,
yeah.
You know, to belt out, but the God Save the Queen is over and done with in about a minute, so...
Yeah, but we have the anthem playing at massive national and international events. We don't have it playing exactly. During domestic games. Exactly. So I think that is a fundamental difference, and there does, particularly with the NFL, there seems to be a link with the military. There's often a massive flag on the field taking up most of the field, and you get a flyover from military planes, and you get military veterans shaking the flag as they reach that part of the anthem. It's definitely got a different context in America than it has over here. And just to pick up on something else you said in that last bit, is I think it's utterly ridiculous that people could come up with the argument that stars should stick to sports instead of coming up with protests like this. They've got their chance to be heard because they are fantastic on a sporting field, but that doesn't mean that what their argument is not legitimate. They should have an equal chance to make their point as other people in the media. They have earned their right, kind of, for what they have done on the sporting field, but their arguments are not discredited just because that's the avenue that they've come down.
Well, exactly, and I think singers, they're more than versed in expressing their political opinions in their songs, their what they think about people, you know, even just coming out before a concert. They might just have a chat about what they think politically is going on at the minute. Why should sports stars be any different? I don't know. Something a little bit socially that I think is quite interesting is that when problems tend to happen when people begin to attach their identity to their opinions.
Yeah.
So say, for instance, you loved oranges, you thought they're the best, you know, you couldn't live without them, and I just came up to you and I said, Chris, you know what, I think apples are the bomb, oranges aren't really that much. You might get hurt, but it's very very difficult for people to change their minds, particularly when they feel passionate, well, especially when people feel particularly passionate about something and you identify with that. And people often take these protests or differences in opinion as a slight on themselves rather than what they are. There's somebody else's opinion, and whilst everyone is entitled to an opinion, it can often get ratty because people are so attached to them, whereas in reality you need to accept that, yes, this is my opinion currently, but if I get overwhelming evidence to the contrary, then I should change it. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. Everyone has their things. Like, I could never be convinced that Tottenham weren't brilliant.
I think that's a very good point, actually. And it's very interesting that fans in America have actually started booing players on their own team. So that feeling of it hurting them because they've taken such a completely different attitude to them has gone past the point of their love for the team. The fact that they're still wearing their team's shirt doesn't make any difference. They're going to boo them because of the attitude and the protest that they're doing, which is incredibly unusual, because obviously in most sports, and most fans are diehard, aren't they? They stick with their team through thick and thin. So it's actually divided fans from their teams. They've booed them whenever they've scored touchdowns. It's been really weird to see in the NFL this season.
It's particularly strange because you often hear booing in this country if the team has done particularly badly.
Yeah.
For instance, the famously when Wayne Rooney got quite irate at a camera after England were once again subpar and the England fans were booing. But that wasn't speaking about anyone in particular, but to not ostracise, I don't think that's quite the right word, but to draw out somebody in particular because they've taken a particular stance on a political issue during the sporting match of which you're the very fan that's there to support. You've paid the money to come do this. Why then would you boo them? It goes beyond me a bit.
Yeah.
But I think not actually being involved in this, perhaps we're not quite as immersed as we need to be to make the judgments real time, if you see what I'm
saying. Yeah, that's right. We're looking from the outside in rather than having the emotive part of it from being in there.
I think it's quite important to acknowledge that we're two white boys from Surrey talking about this, and this issue is much bigger than I think.
Yeah, exactly. We, by doing this podcast, we wanted to kind of open the debate, didn't we, rather than saying that this is the right thing, this is the conclusion on it all. We want to hear you guys' thoughts, and we want to hear all of the rest of the stuff that the media have been saying, and we just wanted to present it to you on the podcast today. But another interesting point that you were kind of alluded to a bit there was that it's actually unusual in sport to boo your own players in any sport, but for it to be in the NFL is actually incredibly unusual. It's very weird that the NFL is the birthplace for something like this, because it's normally all about the team and conformity. It's got military connotations, not just because of the pre-match routines, but because of the discipline that teams have to have. And a hell of a lot of military personnel actually have been previous NFL players, or before they've gone into the NFL, they've had a career in the military. One such example is Pat Tillman. A lot of people are seeing it as it's difficult to take for them that it's been the NFL that have come up with this argument, and it's caused this stance of taking a knee during the national anthem. Because they wouldn't expect it to come from an avenue like this. Maybe from something like the NBA, that's slightly more individualistic, where players get celebrated for what they've done as individuals. Other than quarterbacks in the NFL, who are celebrated as individuals, the rest of the team is celebrated for what they achieve as a team and not what they achieve as an individual. So I think it has been shocking for a lot of people that something so individualistic, and that players have taken different stances to owners and teams, has come from a league like the NFL.
Yep. That point was one that came up in another very good podcast. It was a sports special, wasn't it? Sports panel.
Yeah, that's right. BBC Five Live special.
That's certainly worth a listen. I mean, we haven't got all our information from it, obviously, because what would be the point of doing this? But it gets some very interesting viewpoints from a diverse group of people in the matter, and I think there's quite a bit more. I know we're dugout debate, but there's a lot more debate from the other side of the argument than why Kaepernick shouldn't have done what he did. The purpose largely of this podcast is to just sort of allude to what's actually going on, because honestly, before I started doing the research into this, I was very confused, and I'm less confused now, but also to quite a serious extent, I'm quite considerably more confused because there is just so much going on. There are so many nuances.
Yeah, so many viewpoints out
getting
there.
Confused with, well, so many different arguments getting confused with one and the other, and it is a bit of a mess. But Chris, I think it's now appropriate to ask the question, what's next and how do we see this ending?
Well, to look at this, I read a very good article by Christine Brennan from USA Today.
We'll put this up on the extra reading.
And in her eyes, there's a very simple answer to this question, which I think a lot of people will be surprised by, and that is to go back to the days before 2009, as we've already mentioned, where teams weren't required to come out of the locker room for games for the national anthem, and with no players on the field. The anthem would go on, and the controversy, at least the visible part of it, would be over. This would seem to be quite a quick fix, and would deprive Donald Trump of any visual evidence of player protests, which has provided a lot of the drive for his incessant tweeting on the issue. And he'd I'm sure he'd find something else to tweet about for sure. But what this solution must not do is stop the ongoing conversations that we have started to have about the issues of social injustice that Colin Kaepernick first drew attention to. As you've mentioned, Tim, it seems that a lot of people have joined the conversation just to have a go at Trump. People have joined the conversation for lots of different reasons, and I think it is important that we don't lose the original idea that Colin had, and his concerns have faded in the last couple of weeks. Those who would be angry to lose the powerful imagery of players taking a knee should consider that it's also likely that Trump in this situation would stop tweeting on the issue, and we could start focusing on the issue at hand, and it wouldn't become such a big media circus with the President of the United States involved in it. And getting him out of the way would certainly allow the league, the clubs and the players to address that these really important issues calmly and wisely, without the media scrutiny.
There are certainly, the NFL clubs are certainly involved in lots and lots of community outreach programs, and such like, and community education, all that sort of thing. And to once again go back to the rhetoric that sports people shouldn't get involved in politics, I would argue the total opposite in this particular sense, because often the NFL teams, the NBA teams, whoever they are the shining light in a given area. They are what all kids aspire to grow up and be. And these athletes can have a world of difference for young people, for everyone in the community. And if they take this opportunity to say, right, we can acknowledge that there are major problems in society at the moment, and we can address it by going out there into the community, doing whatever outreach work that we can, which engages both sides of the particular coin that we're talking about, the police and the civilians and the bystanders, or whoever you want to say. By engaging with everyone, enemies will be lost, if you see what I'm saying. You know, the rift between the two can be mended. And while, you know, we're talking about, in terms of police brutality, we're talking the very minor numbers of police officers. Many of them are brilliant people, do fantastic work. But by bringing them together, it can only serve the community better and the world better, ultimately.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point you've raised there. A lot of people have criticised that the players were coming out saying that they're millionaires in these situations and that they don't really understand what is going on the street. So how should they be the ones that are leading these protests? But I think, as you've mentioned there, that they are the key people in society in a lot of ways. They're role models for a lot of young kids. So they have the opportunity to use their voice for the situation. Yes, they might be at this stage in their lives having fantastic times, earning a hell of a lot of money, but that doesn't mean that they don't still experience some of the stuff that they are having a go at. I mean,
More to the point, sorry, Chris. These guys, a lot of them grew up in sort of harder areas, if you like, sort of somewhat deprived areas. Yeah. So they've literally come out of that life into their current life. But yeah, their friends and family from when they were younger, they're probably still around. So I think making the argument that they don't know anything is completely moot. Because they were probably there, and it's not like in the last 15 years there's been a complete social revolution and everything's gone to pot. I won't say the word I was going to say. But you know, these guys have lived it. And, you know, while you might criticise the elite, you know, the upper middle class who made their way into football and they're brilliant players now because they don't know it, okay, I can see that train of thought. But for the guys who really have worked hard to where they want to be, but come from those roots, there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't, and absolutely every reason why they should be getting involved in these sort of community outreach programs.
Yeah, it seems that the people that are making the argument against it, saying that they know nothing anymore because they have such a good situation, are literally just coming up with anything that they can think of to discredit. It's a bit of a scattergun approach. They're chucking everything they can to say that what the guys are arguing isn't true. But just to sum up, as we've already alluded to, we might see quite a few more protests like this in all sorts of different sports across the world. The Hertha Berlin example may continue. As we're recording this, we've only had one NBA game so far this season. It may be that the NBA becomes the centre of this now, when we have this happening at every single NBA game as well as NFL. But ultimately, the NFL does need to take the lead, with the guys that have started this, and hopefully finish what Colin Kaepernick started.
I would hope that players within the teams that are backing this movement press on with something, realise that they are the driving force that is needed to make these changes. They really can be. This is my opinion. You can feel free to disagree with it as much as you like, but these guys, you know, they are just sportsmen. But they're super well connected. They'll know a lot of really important, powerful people. And if you get the right people in the right place with a common goal, you never know what you can achieve.
What it is fair to say is that I think this will rumble on for quite a long time. That we have just seen the start of it. Obviously, it's It's been going on for over a year now. Some people will think that this is a recent issue, but yeah, it has been rumbling on for over a year, and more people have joined the protests. So I think this will carry on growing and growing for the foreseeable future.
I think the timing of the start of the NBA season is particularly pivotal in this, because we're just experiencing not the end of the hysteria with the NFL.
Yeah, it's lulled a little bit, hasn't it?
But certainly the Trump versus NFL saga seems to have finished. But the underlying message from Colin Kaepernick is still rumbling on. And I think that the personalities that you do get, like Steph Curry, like LeBron James, real global sports stars, who everyone knows about. You know, you might be able to name Tom Brady or, you know, Peyton Manning, maybe Aaron Rodgers if you're not an NFL fan, but everyone knows Steph Curry, everyone knows LeBron James. And if these guys get a hold of it, and especially with their connections, you never know what's actually going to happen. We might see a social revolution, we might see that's probably unlikely, but I think, well, I'd hope we'd start to see a progression to a more tolerant society and a more united one. And ultimately, the goal of sport is to bring people together for a common cause, you know, from lots of different backgrounds. I don't really know North London. My dad was a Spurs fan. I'm a Spurs fan. But I've got a whole community of people I don't even know who I love unconditionally because they're Spurs fans. So, you know, the sport is there to unite. It's not to divide. And I think that this is testing for it. But I'm hopeful that America as a whole and the NFL will come out stronger on the other side.
That is the key. Sport is the platform for this situation, and sport has done it well so far, and hopefully that continues.
Excellent. Well, I think that's the end of this week's Dugout Debate podcast. We really do want to hear your thoughts on this. This is a really interesting topic, and what we say is definitely not right by any stretch of the imagination. It's just our view on what's going on. We are happy to be challenged on it. Just please drop us a comment on whatever platform that you choose, at Dugout Debate on Twitter and on Facebook. And then we've got all our extra reading, and I will link the BBC podcast up there as well. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope to see you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.